Welcome to HCS Talks. I'm your host, Superintendent of Hampton City Schools, Raymond Haynes. Today marks the final episode of Season 2 of HCS Talks, the official podcast of Hampton City Schools, and our 42nd episode. It has been an absolute pleasure sharing conversations with so many incredible guests throughout the year, including students, teachers, staff, coaches, administrators, and community partners. It is hard to believe we have reached the end of the season, but we are so grateful for the stories, insights, and inspiration shared along the way. Our goal remains to educate, inform, and even entertain our community, as well as listeners beyond. So we hope you will tune in and continue listening to HCS Talks. Today, I have the opportunity to sit down with Dr. Brittany Ganey, one of our Hampton City Schools school social workers, who is also a licensed clinical social worker. So Dr. Ganey is no stranger to the podcast. I think this is like her 30th or 40th time being up here. But for the factual purposes, I think this is a third time, actually. So we welcome Dr. Ganey, and thank you for being here again today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Before we dive into a conversation, please tell the listening audience a little bit more about yourself.
Again, I am Dr. Brittany Ganey. I serve and support students here as a school social worker. I would say that I'm a restorative practice champion, and I enjoy amplifying the voices of our community.
And you do it exceptionally well.
Yes.
So how many years have you been here with Hampton City Schools?
I'm actually going into my fifth year with Hampton City Schools.
Fifth year. Going into your fifth year, that means
yeah.
You're returning the next school year?
I did. I signed my contract as soon as I got it. So you guys are stuck with me for another school year.
You make it seem like it's just going to be one more year. We are anticipating that you...
Well, you only can do one at a time. You only do...
But you're going to be here until you retire.
Absolutely. I'm still young and full of fun, so why not?
So, like I said, she is no stranger to the podcast. So we welcome Dr. Ganey back, and you opened season two with great insights on managing mm-hmm. back-to-school stress, and now we are here the day after the last day of school. So how are you feeling? And don't ask me the same question.
You know, I always have mixed feelings, so I'm excited, you know. Of course, towards the end of the school year, you feel like, oh my gosh, there's so many things that you have to get done. You have your list, and then when you finally reach the end, you know, it's a sense of relief, you know, but also thinking about what I'm going to do next year.
Yes, ma'am. So as we officially close out the school year, what are some common emotions or reactions students and staff might be experiencing right now?
So I think they may be experiencing something similar as I am in this moment. So some may be relieved, like, yes, we finally made it. But then there may be some anxiety and worry about, one, what is going to happen next year, but two, what am I going to do over the summer? I think a big question that teachers always ask students when they come back is, what did you do over the summer? And for some kids, they may have a list of things. For some, they may be uncertain or they didn't do anything. So, you know, I think some there's this anxiety and worry. There's the relief. There's also the excitement. It's an opportunity to celebrate. Like, mm-hmm. I have finally made it. I may have had some challenges. I may have had some hurdles. But, you know, this is an opportunity to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. The end of the year can be emotionally and physically draining, mm-hmm. as we just discussed. So what are a few things educators and staff can do this week to begin decompressing?
I say make a list, make a kind of prioritize, you know, make a list about things that you feel like you need to do, things that you want to do, and things that you have to do, and prioritize things in that order. And then be okay with not checking everything off of your list. And then in addition to finding things to do, find space just to be, you know, connect with your coworkers, connect with your family members, process how you're feeling, process how you're doing. And then take a moment just to breathe with your students. Take a moment to breathe with your colleagues, because things are going to be different next year, you know? And so you need to grieve the moment, but also celebrate the moment.
So for students, especially those navigating big transitions, graduating, moving to new schools, or facing some uncertainty, what can parents or caregivers do to help them process the change?
I think one thing that they can do is ask questions, right? Check in with how they're doing. Don't assume that they're excited. Don't assume that they are sad about leaving home. Don't assume their feelings about the changes and the transitions. Ask questions. And then I think the second thing that they can do is acknowledge their feelings. Acknowledge how they feel, whether, like I said, it's good, bad, or in between. Acknowledge that. And then give them the words that they're saying back to them, because that lets them know that they are seen, that they are heard, and then what they're experiencing is valid. And then I think for folks who might be graduating or going somewhere different, help them identify what their social supports are. So it could be family members, it can be friends. Help them navigate that.
Makes sense. You said identify and give them their words back to them. What do you mean by that?
So let's say they say, you know what, I'm feeling really worried and stressed about leaving. Say, you know, what I hear is that you're kind of concerned about what might be happening next. And so that means that I'm showing empathy. That also means that I hear what you're saying. Right. And I'm not putting my feelings or my thoughts in it. I am meeting you exactly where you are.
That validation piece.
That validation and just kind of affirm. That's active listening one-on-one.
Yes, ma'am. So while summer is often seen as a break, Dr. Ganey, we know it can bring its own kind of stress.
Absolutely.
So what are some common summer stressors you see in both students and adults?
So I think, you know, some people feel like they have to have these big plans, you know, so keeping up with the Joneses, or I would call the comparison trap. So I want to make sure I say I went out with a bang for my summer. That's stressful. It's a stress emotionally, but it also can be a stress financially, right? And so I have to figure out, who am I trying to keep up with and what are my goals for the summer? For some folks, they're trying to figure out if they should meet all of these goals for the summer. Well, over the summer, I said I did this. I read this book. I went this place. And so that can be extremely stressful for adults and for kids. And so I think we have to put things in perspective and figure out what we need to do for ourselves, what works for us emotionally, financially, spiritually, psychologically, and then give kids the right to do the same thing.
And it makes a whole lot of sense, because it almost seems like you have to, when someone asks you, you have to come up with these grand ideas to make it seem like you're doing something, where folks sort of kind of look at you strangely or react strangely because you're saying, you know, your relaxation could just simply be, I'm just going to be at home and have time to myself, and I don't have to talk about, I'm going to Hawaii, or I'm going to this place or that place, or I'm going out of the country.
Yeah,
those things can be stressors, because you have to feel as though you're keeping up with folks, and understanding that your own relaxation and sense of comfort is yours, and you don't have to try to compete with someone else.
Absolutely. I think that's true. And like I said, I think that's for adults and for students as well. You know, we have to kind of figure out what works for us, you know, in the moment. And then also not feeling like, you know, summer is the opportunity to take the entire time to plan for next year, you know, because if we're honest, for summer break, a lot of us just use that time to prepare for next year. We really don't break. And so I think we have to give ourselves permission to be still and to just take an opportunity to do nothing, that we don't always have to fill void space, that it's okay, you know, that nothing is planned on our calendar.
You get trying to get slip me into some counseling session again. I'm not going to let you turn this around and give me a session on the couch. So
no, not at all. But I think, you know, that's a really good point. Over the summer, if you feel like you need to lay on the couch and talk to somebody about what's been going on, you should do that. That's okay. The couch, the chair, the lawn chair.
Are you talking to the audience or me?
Both. I'm talking to myself too. But I do have another tip, Dr. Haynes. One thing that folks should do, turn your notifications off over the summer if you can. From work, you know, and from social media, you know, from
well,
the TV.
I can easily do that. Social media piece is not me.
You know, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, no. Twitter, none of that. Okay, well, if you're not Dr. Haynes and you do have all these social media outlets, turn the notifications off, because sometimes we feel like we have to respond to those things. Right. And because we're not working full time, then it feels like we have a lot of time to respond to other people. But that also makes our mind work. Okay, now these are things I have to do, or I'm seeing people posting all these pictures and I need to engage in some of these activities. I think our kids may do it more so than we do, but turn the notifications off.
Yeah, it will help you sort of kind of decompress and not feel so stressed about
yes,
having
absolutely.
To respond or, mm-hmm. or check to see what's going on
yeah.
And
yeah.
somebody's world where they're creating these false narratives and
yeah.
on what they're doing because they're just posting the pictures
yes.
where they are.
Yeah.
Where it appears as though they're happy all the time.
Exactly,
and,
exactly.
And folks get stressed out because they feel as though, like you mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
they have to compete with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're running your own race.
Yes, yes. So for staff who want to recharge but also tend to take on busy work during mm-hmm. the summer, how can they be intentional about setting boundaries and
yeah.
truly resting? You said talked a little bit about that. I don't know if it's anything you want to elaborate on.
So I think, you know, sometimes we talk about separating things, which can be difficult, right? You
mm-hmm.
know, but sometimes it's about finding balance. So
mm-hmm.
I may want to plan and prepare. I may want to work, but schedule time to do that. So I may need to maybe take an hour and a half a day. That's it, you know, to focus on work. Maybe it doesn't need to consume 5 hours of my day. So I feel like I'm getting best of both worlds. I'm taking a break, but I'm also, you know, planning and preparing and doing what I need to do. The other thing, find an accountability partner, you know. Say, you know what, this summer I'm trying to make sure that I focus on me. But I'm also trying to make sure that I'm prepared for whatever is next. If you call me at 5 o'clock and I'm still on my computer, I need for you to hold me accountable and say, close the laptop.
Wow. Mm-hmm. An accountability partner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's twofold, because you're not only helping to improve yourself and getting that time for yourself, but you're also helping others to do it as well.
Yeah.
Can you have more than one accountability partner? Or?
Yes, absolutely. Why not? You can have more than one accountability partner, and sometimes you can have an accountability partner for different things. So maybe over the summer, I want to walk more. I want to be outside more. So I need to have an accountability partner to call me early in the morning and say, hey, are you up? Have your feet hit the ground yet?
Mm-hmm.
Have another accountability partner to make sure that you're taking breaks and you're not working too long. Have another accountability partner to make sure you're doing what you need to do for your children or for your spouse. So you can have multiple accountability partners.
You come on, I learned something new. So what tips do you have for families to create structure and emotional balance over the summer, especially if they're not participating in any
yeah.
formal programs?
So one thing I would say is maybe have family meetings. And so that's something that we had when I was growing up. And so every Sunday, we would meet and we would check in with each other about what was going on, what we needed to do differently, whose feelings did we hurt, if we had any goals for the week. And so I would encourage folks to have a family meeting. And so it doesn't have to be on Sunday. Maybe it can be on Wednesday. Maybe it can be during dinner time. But have an opportunity for your families to come together, to connect, to check in with each other, check out with each other, and set some goals. I think the other thing that folks can do is have at least a loose routine or schedule. And so I think for our kiddos, it throws them off over the summer because it's like free play and free time. And then when school starts, it's hard to get them back on that schedule or routine.
Right.
And so over the summer, even if it's not as strict as it is during the school year, have some sort of schedule or something that we can expect to happen every single day, and maybe a way that we're going to start our day and end our day.
So that transition back won't be as challenging as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely.
So with the family meetings, are there roles with this, or is it just the matriarch or the patriarch saying it's family meeting time? How would one set that up?
So I do think the parents should kind of organize it. But then I think that the children within that family should have stake in there. So maybe, you know, there's the little sister that's kind of facilitating that meeting, even though the parent might be organizing it. Maybe that younger sibling is saying, you know, today we're going to talk about what we eat for dinner. And then maybe the next week, you know, someone else is talking about activities that we want to do throughout the week. And so I think the parents can do a good job of organizing it, but everybody can have a role, an active role in that.
Makes sense. So I imagine the family meetings when you were a child, you probably took them over.
Because I like to talk, you know, and I was raised in a house full of women, you know, and so, you know, yes.
So you did take them over.
Not all of them. Not all of them. But, you know, I think it's important for you to advocate for yourself, you know, and you're a model for those who may not be able to speak up for themselves.
Oh, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. So, Dr. Ganey, why is summer a good time for reflection, not just on the school year, but on personal well-being as well?
Because I think summer gives us, you know, just a really good opportunity where we're still, you know. And so for some reason, it's just like Christmas break or spring break. It's uninterrupted time that's dedicated for us. And it's called summer break, you know. And so those words alone just remind us that we really do need to take a break and that we can use that opportunity to reflect. And so again, it's not interrupted by our schedules, by our routines, by our normal expectations. And so it's our downtime to really reflect on who we are, maybe what we want to be, where we want to go, how we want to grow. And we don't have to worry about the voices of others. We don't have to worry about, you know, the expectations that might currently be on us. It's our time.
So I know that you have given a wealth of information and tips as well throughout the podcast today, but what are some simple, you want to elaborate on some simple self-care strategies that people can realistically commit to over the summer, even with a full plate?
So, of course, there are a lot of things that we can do, you know, but I would encourage people, a self-care strategy, one is to say no. No is a complete sentence, and to be comfortable with saying no. I think the other thing that people can do, and you've kind of mentioned it here today, is to set boundaries, you know. And if you are not able to do that, have your accountability partner help you to set boundaries. And so boundaries might be, I'm turning my phone off at a certain time. I'm not responding to notifications. I'm putting a vacation responder on my email. So set those boundaries. The other thing that you can do, I always encourage people, go outside, take a walk. We need our fresh air, our fresh vitamin D. If you're not able to do that, open the windows. That's self-care. You know, it's not always getting my hair done, getting my nails done, doing these extravagant and elaborate things. Sometimes it's learning to enjoy the space that I'm in. For folks that like to listen to music and have that time be uninterrupted. Say, you know what, this time I'm spending for me. Read a book, an enjoyable book. One thing I've started doing this year is I read kids' books. I read kids' chapter books with my kids.
Nice.
And at first I was like, I'm not doing this. But when I say that's my favorite part of my day sometimes is when I can get home and I read a chapter book that has nothing to do with work,
right,
nothing to do with social work. I'm not trying to learn all this information. I'm just reading about some fifth grader that's going through school and experiencing puberty.
Right.
You know, and so Diary of the Wimpy Kid, right, you know, Captain Underpants. And so as an adult, I'm soaking that in. My kids love it because we can have these random conversations, but I'm not thinking as much. And so for me, that's self-care.
Oh, it absolutely is. I love that. So your kids look forward to it. Is it daily or?
Yes. When our schedule allows, it's daily. And during the winter, it was nice. We would turn the fireplace on. Everybody would get their blanket. And we would just read for 15 minutes. And then it was like, can we read longer? Can we read longer? And so I was hitting that 30 minutes a day of reading because they enjoyed the moment so much. Not just because we were reading, but because we were doing it together.
So is it shared reading or are you the only one doing the reading?
No, everybody has their own book. Mm-hmm. And so we just sit and we read our own books for 15 to 30 minutes.
Wow. So you continue to give a wealth of great information and strategies and techniques for self-care what would you say is one thing you know you need to work on as well? You talked about things that you're doing. I know you talked about mm-hmm. reading the chapter books, but yeah. One thing you know you need to work on for your own self-care.
One thing. I didn't know we were going to talk about me.
I had to do that before you flipped it around on me.
I know. So I hope you're already thinking about yourself since you're starting with me. So something that... something I need to do for myself. So you know what? I will be quite transparent, Dr. Haynes. You know, something I'm going to do this summer for self-care is I'm not going to compare myself to anyone else.
Oh, I like that.
Because I'm one of those ones who kind of sees what everyone is doing. And they're like, okay, well, you have this credential. You know, you have this going on in your life. And so you should be doing all the things. And so sometimes you get caught up in that. And so, you know, my focus this summer is saying, you know what, Brittany, you can just be good with who you are, what you have going on. You don't have to add so much to your plate. Just kind of enjoy the moment.
Mm-hmm. Now, for me, I think that... no being a complete sentence. I like that.
Yes.
It is true. But I think I'm going to focus on not feeling guilty about saying no sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll say no and then it sort of resonates with me. And then all mm-hmm. of a sudden I mm-hmm. may call the person back and say, hey, I'm going to try to make this work or do this, that, or the other. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to focus on saying no and actually sticking to it and not letting it bother me after I say it as well.
Yeah, and I think we can kind of sit with that because we do feel guilty. Mm. And I mean, I'm the same way. Like, that's probably what I'm always doing so much is I never say no.
Right.
But then you have to realize the no is for me. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's part of self-care. The yes is for you. The
right.
no is for me. And if I'm always giving, then eventually I don't have anything left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Powerful statement. How could students and staff mentally prepare for the next school year without letting it hang over them all summer long?
Yeah. I think, again, dedicate a certain amount of time to prepare for the upcoming school year. You don't need to spend, you know, every single day thinking about it, but say, you know what, today I'm going to spend maybe 5 minutes thinking about what I want to do next school year, how would I want to be next school year, what goals I want to accomplish. But then also give yourself permission to change those ideas. So in July, I may have one set of thought, but in August, that might change. And guess what? That's okay. And then I also say make it fun. It doesn't have to be like this grueling process of writing things down. Maybe make a music playlist that represents what you want to do next year, or maybe color, like draw out what you want to do and who you want to be next year. Make it something that's enjoyable and exciting.
What I liked about everything you just said, one of the things that stood out for me, you have the right to change your mind
mm-hmm.
just because you said this in July.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it causes you some stress. Oh, I said this, so I must do that. No,
yeah.
you actually have the right to change your mind and make pivots and adjustments that suit you.
Absolutely. And I think as adults, we have to remind kids to do that as well, you know, because my younger ones, okay, so what are your goals for the year? Like, what do you want to do? And they may have a string of things because they're young, so they feel like they can do everything. But it's okay for me to say, you know what, you can change your mind, or guess what, you didn't meet that goal, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can always pivot and we can always adjust. And I think that's part of life, learning how to navigate challenges, and changes, and also learning how to pivot.
Life skills, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Dr. Gaines, since you kicked off and are now closing out season two, what's something you hope listeners take away from these conversations about stress, balance, and care?
I would say, as I mentioned before, it's not always about what you do, but it's about your state of being, you know. And so balance and self-care is about your perspective. It's about your mindset. That's something that you'll take with you everywhere you go. And again, that's something that can always change.
Mm-hmm.
You can always pivot with that. And so I hope listeners would take that with them. And then something else I would say for the summer is it's okay to be silent. And
right.
still, you know, when I think about summer, I think about the beach and I think about noise and I think about cookouts and parties. But guess what? It's okay just to be silent and still and have a moment like that for yourself.
Outstanding. I always enjoy talking to you. We do a lot of bantering back and forth.
I agree.
It is always meaningful and impactful. And a lot of takeaways for my own personal self and well-being as well. So thank you, as always, Dr. Ganey, for joining us and sharing such valuable insights. We know that mental health is incredibly important, and your perspective continues to resonate with our listeners. I don't know if you realize that. Oftentimes we get feedback on your podcast and what you leave for listeners to sort of adopt and grow on as well. So you're definitely making an impact, not just in your work that you do as a school social worker, but also through these podcasts as well. So we
thank you, Dr. Haynes.
Yes, ma'am. And you know, actually, in fact, you're the only guest we welcome back multiple times. So we know there must be something to it, even though you try to turn things around on me. But you did well today with that.
You did good, Dr. Haynes.
But seriously, we truly appreciate your continued contributions
Absolutely.
To these important conversations.
Absolutely.
All right. And to our listeners, remember, education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world. Together as one community, one transformation, we are committed to ensuring academic excellence for every child, every day, whatever it takes. This summer, take some time to catch up on any episodes you may have missed from Season 1 or Season 2 of HCS Talks. We will return in September with all new episodes featuring engaging conversations and insightful guests like Dr. Ganey. Wishing you a safe, restful, and enjoyable summer.
Listen to learn more about Hampton City Schools. New episodes of HCS Talks drop on Thursdays. Subscribe and listen to HCS Talks. HCS Talks is a Hampton City Schools production.